ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
ما شاء الله. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. حياكم الله. Welcome to the Barakah Effect Podcast. الحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات. We're still in the month of Ramadan, the greatest of months. And with the blessing of Allah, once again, He's given us another chance at attaining His forgiveness in this month. And we continue our session in the Barakah Effect Podcast on the theme of the treasures of Quran. So as always, this is where we share, whether the team members, we share our selected surah and ayat from the Quran, and we share some insights, some wisdoms, and some practical lessons we can implement into our everyday lives. Admittedly, it's quite challenging to do this live session at 2:30 p.m. in Ramadan. Yeah.
But, yeah. Alhamdulillah. But, Alhamdulillah
ala kulli hal. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us strength and make it easy for us. For both the presenters and the listeners. I mean. Okay, so mashallah. Hayyakum Allah. In the meantime, so if you're new here, ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to the Barakah Effect Podcast. This is where we discuss to make the best out of our productivity, career, parenting, family, religion, and life as a whole, and how can we achieve extraordinary success in dunya and akhirah in all these different elements. We're on a mission to become and continue inspiring highest aspiring Muslims worldwide. So please do support our channel by clicking the like and subscribe icons below so that you too can help us on this journey, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah, for this episode, we have Brother Aziz. So our episode today is called Pure Waters, Pure Faith, Reflections and Tadabbur from Surah Al-Kawthar. I'm sure a surah which, for many of us, it's our favorite surah to recite in sunnah prayers.
I wonder why.
Yeah, mashallah. Right? Definitely one of my favorite surah too.
Yep.
Surah too.
Yep.
The go-to surah.
It's short but comprehensive in meaning. Yeah.
That's right. The go-to surah, as Aziz said. Okay. So, alhamdulillah, since we're all, I'm sure many of us, this is our go-to surah, probably on a daily basis, not even our fard prayer, probably, right? Allahu alam, maybe. So now that we're reciting this more frequently, so what we hope that this sharing session can achieve is that now we can have a lot more depth, a lot more appreciation to that quick and concise surah that we'll be reciting, right?
Mashallah. So, Aziz, mashallah.
Big shoes to fill, Aziz. Mashallah. I'm looking forward for this one.
May Allah make it beneficial.
Tak jadi.
You thought tak jadi, yeah? Okay. Okay, alhamdulillah, you thought wrong. So here we are. Okay, Ahlan Aziz. So Brother Aziz, start your sharing by enlightening us. Why did you choose this surah?
Okay, bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Okay, why did I choose this surah? So I need to set a scene. I mean, there's a story behind it. I can't remember which year it was. I think it was 2011 or 2012. I started to learn the deen a little bit seriously during that time, I came across a lecture regarding this surah, Surah Al-Kawthar. But I can't recall who gave the lecture. But it had a big impact on me. We get some kind of give him a chills, goosebump when he related the surah regarding a story regarding the surah. So,
inshallah.
And then it also made me rethink about whatever knowledge of Islam I had that time, and plus whatever ibadah, is it according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even my environment. And so it made me want to dig deeper and understand our deen better. So one part of it is that I wanted to improve my prayer, especially wanting to know how our how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his prayer. So then I began reading books, listening to more lecture, more talks. But you know, right, guys, when learning is not just about listening and reading, right? We have to got to ask questions from our sheikh, from ustaz. So I was on the lookout for someone who could guide me. But at that time, right, it's still new for me. So I didn't know who to ask. And then there is this one group that organized a course. I think you guys know, Perfecting My Salah in Miri.
Ah, mashallah. In Miri.
Taught by Sheikh Hussein Yi from Al Khadim.
Mashallah.
I think this brother here know the story, know which group is it.
Okay. So can you name us at least one or two culprits who came from this group?
Okay. Maybe I will say some of it. So from this course, that's how I met Brother Afif and Brother Indra. I think Faisal, all of us here know who they are, right? So they introduced me to the Usra, where our weekend halakha. And through that, I got to know Brother Faisal, Brother Amir here.
Mashallah. Mashallah.
And the other brother. Yeah. Mashallah.
Mashallah.
I think it's been like 11 to 12 years since then.
Yeah. Yeah. Subhanallah. 13 years already. Yeah. Amazing. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And then fast forward to present time. So after I have a little bit knowledge about the surah, I teach my son. I think when he was 8 years old, 9 years old, the last year, I can't remember. But and then it's amazing to see how careful he became whenever he hears someone mention about the Prophet, when his ustaz or his friend or anything from radio or from TV, when someone mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like this, and he would come back and ask me to check if what was said was true. Subhanallah. So we look it up together. Usually we will do some research, and sometimes if we cannot get the answer, we would ask our teacher just to verify. And I think if we have this cautious in receiving any news, I think the world would be a better place. And this journey had a big impact on me, and I wanted to share it with the Baraka Effect podcast brothers and the audience. So though it's a short surah,
just to link. So how is this course related to this is what started the journey for you that eventually made you discover the surah,
the course. Meet you guys, and now because of this, the usra, I have this habit of want to share any knowledge.
Mashallah.
If not with this big audience, I would surely share it with my children and my family.
Mashallah.
You know, just since you mentioned it, I'm just gonna share something. It's very enlightening to hear this. Very inspiring, because it's nice to hear this side of the story. Actually, Ame and I were the organizer for that. Organizers. And organizing that session was very, very challenging for many different reasons. And it almost came to a point where we almost had to cancel it. So at one point, suddenly we just managed to get some. So the only way we could get it done is we had to hire a hotel venue. And I think that would cost us. And since I think there was like 100 participants. And so at that time, it would have cost us like 10,000 ringgit, some amount like that, 10,000, 12,000 to that magnitude.
And the original location was at the masjid, right?
It was a different venue that we had to change. Yeah. And then that would cost us a lot of money. So how is this going to work? But somehow, subhanAllah, ask this guy. And then somebody offered me, said, okay, don't worry, I got connections. I can get you 10K in like 1 week. I don't have 1 week. I need to decide it like today. And then subhanAllah, by the mercy of Allah, within 1 hour easily. I don't know, less than 1 hour. I think like less than half an hour actually. Just call, settle. 11K. Of course, gone.
Mashallah.
And then from that, we met so many different people. And alhamdulillah, Aziz is one of the, from that one participation, started the friendship. And here we are today, 13 years later with the Barakah Effect Podcast Mashallah. Live. Mashallah.
I love the story because, you know, you never know when you spend effort. Sometimes there's hurdles in your way that makes it difficult to achieve something. But as long as you're doing good, inshallah, someone who is participating, like Brother Abdul Aziz, you will not know about it, but he gets so much benefit from it that it becomes an opener for goodness for him. And the door of Hidayah. So mashallah. So never underestimate the things that you are striving on. Perhaps it affects someone greatly and they change their lives. Mashallah. Barakallahu fikum.
Mashallah. Mashallah. Fikum barakallah. Nice to hear this.
Nice. But then Surah Al-Kawthar, right? Though it's a short surah, the story and the lessons behind it is very incredibly powerful. As Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, "What a splendid surah is Surah Al-Kawthar. How abundant are its benefit, even though it's short in length." I think they have one book for this surah written by Ibn Taymiyyah.
Oh, just dedicated to this surah.
Just for this surah.
Mashallah.
I think I haven't read it yet. During my research, I saw that Darussalam published the book.
Oh, okay. Mashallah.
So that's why I choose this surah.
Nice. Amazing. All right. Yes. Well, looking forward to it. Okay, tell us more. Tell us more about this surah. What is it all about? What are the themes of this surah?
Okay, as introduction, usually we will say that this Surah Al-Kawthar, some scholars mentioned it. It's a Makki surah. However, I think there's a lot of different opinion regarding this, but we will not discuss it here. And okay, let's set the scene for why this surah came about. I mean, the Asbabun Nuzul. Scholars generally agree that it was revealed in response to the mocking of from the mushrikun, the non-believers in Mecca. They insulted the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by calling him names like Majnun, Sahir, and for this surah, it is to respond the name that the mushrikun call, which is Abtar, which means someone who is cut off from goodness. So the term Abtar, by the end of the surah, there's a word Abtar there, could also refer to a man without a son or whose son has passed away. We know that the mushrikun in Mecca, they are very proud if they get a son, right? And if they get daughter, they feel that this is something that is
a tragedy, like calamity.
True. And we know that all of Rasulullah's son died when they are still child. And then the also interpretation of Abtar is that as being cut off from goodness, because Rasulullah's initial followers were mainly the poor and the weak. So they see this as not something good. It's something that cut off from the goodness. Because a common scenario for all of the prophet, initially, it is the weak and the poor that embrace the truth first, right? And then followed by others. And one more thing we need to remind ourselves, that remember that our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is human. He's not superhuman. He's the best of human, right? He had feelings, and the hurtful words of the people affected him deeply. So Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Hijr, verse 97, we certainly know that your heart is truly distressed by what they say. So if we are hurtful with people's what people say about us, it's normal. It's normal, right? Because some people say, "Oh, come on, don't be so lembek lah, so weak that people cannot say anything about you." Rasulullah SAW himself, he did feel hurtful with the words that the people tell him. But
in fact, whatever people tell us is nothing compared to what people tell Rasulullah SAW, the words that they use against him.
Oh, so many, right? I even didn't know that Abtar is one of it.
Actually, just a side note about this phrase, Abtar, being cut off. In different cultures, we have different terms for this. So when you refer to somebody who cannot bear children, in Malay, you say somebody is mandul. You're familiar, right? And actually, this phrase is actually very hurtful for people. So when you say, "Oh, ni kone perempuan mandul, laki mandul," you know, like infertile man or infertile woman. Maybe the word infertile doesn't sound so hurtful, but culturally in Malay, mandul is like very, you know, very, very hurtful, you know, when you say these kind of things.
Negative connotation.
Very condescending.
It's like a very, very deep personal insult, right?
Yes. And then, you know, like, because these days also, actually sometimes it's something for us to note also, when you see couples, they don't have children yet, refrain yourself from making comments, when are you going to get children? Like, actually, it can really hurt their feelings. Sometimes, especially some of the older generation, they are quite insensitive in this kind of thing. So they'll say things like, the women is the problem. Or, you know, it's very, this kind of thing is very hurtful. This is like using that phrase, Abtar, actually. And I know this firsthand because my wife and I, we only got our first child after 8 years. So, you know, 8 years is a long time. Yeah, you're living in a, while you're living throughout these years, people are getting married after you, getting children one by one, you know. So, for example, Shami got married after me, then Shami got child, you know. And then people making side comments like, "Oh, you bila lagi? Oh, man. I also want lah, bro. Come on lah." And then, you know, "Oh, you had a good news ke?" "Yeah, ada banyak good news. Just maybe that good news, Allahu alam. But banyak lagi good news yang lain." So actually, a lesson for all of us, like especially when you have other people getting married, don't like, these kind of questions can be sensitive to people. And especially if you imply that, "Oh, you cannot have children ke? What's..." Actually, there's one uncle who actually outright told me, I think after 5 years marriage, "Oh, you don't have children? What's wrong with you?" "What's wrong with me? Oh, man." "Don't lah, uncle. That hurts my feelings lah."
"I also don't know, uncle."
"I also want, kan?" Yeah. Just a reminder for all of us. Alhamdulillah, I think some people who never gone through this, they don't know how it feels. I have to say that. But I going through that for many years, it's really painful, man. So, yeah.
But least, can I add to that? If Allah tests anyone with that kind of test, inshallah, it's a heavy test, yeah. But that's the same test that Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Zakaria, mashallah, tested with that. Yeah. And I think to this day, we have one very big scholar, one very major scholar. I think he's a scholar that a lot of people benefited from his knowledge. He's in his 80s. He's in the 80s. He's Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, and he doesn't have kids. You know that? Inshallah. He has no kids.
Oh, smile. I didn't know that.
People say that his children is all his students. That is his children.
Mashallah.
Mashallah.
Yeah. And yeah, I think just a side note from that, which is actually leading into this surah also, is that when you're, maybe that's one means, Allahu Alam, you might get it later, like the examples of, you know, like Zakaria, Allah gave at a very late phase when they thought there's no hope. So that's one thing to hold to. At the same time, also, you have other avenues of making a lot of good deeds in other ways, like Amir saying here, right? So Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan has avenues through other ways. So never give up hope. Allah gives everybody a chance to earn goodness in many different ways.
Al-Kawthar, many, many goodness we can do.
That's the thing.
Example closer to me is my daughter's teacher. MashaAllah, he's a very famous ustaz. He and his wife doesn't have kids, but they really invest their time, their wealth, to nurture kids in the Tafi school. Like, buy a lot of goodies, motivate them. During exam week, they even stood up like until 2 o'clock in the morning to revise, to do revisions for the children. MashaAllah, really dedicated. And people say that all the kids in the madrasah, that those are their kids.
MashaAllah.
Nice. Oh, may Allah give goodness to all of us.
Ameen.
And then hold on. So the revelation of Surah Al-Kawthar brought comfort to the Prophet ﷺ in similar way to Surah Ad-Duha did, by reassuring him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala support him, love him, and give him the goodness. And it was narrated by Muslim in his hadith sahih that Anas radiallahu anhu, this is, I think we need to imagine the scene when this surah revealed. Anas radiallahu anhu said that while we were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kind of sleep dozed off, right? It's like this is one of the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would receive revelation. Sometimes like a ring of bell, sometimes is he will could sweat, but this is one of the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam receive the surah. It seems like relaxing way. He was like asleep, and then he raised his head and he was smiling. Usually he would sweat, right? And then, but this time he was raised his head and he was smiling. Some narration say that he was actually laughing. And then the Sahaba said, "Why are you smiling, ya Rasulullah?" Suddenly, if you see your friends or your kids or your father, suddenly, why that? Why are you laughing? After what do you dream of, right? But and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "A surah had been revealed to me." And then he recited, "Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inna a'tainakal kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna sya'niyaka wal abtar." The meaning is, indeed, we have granted you, O Muhammad, al-kawthar. Usually they translate it to the river of paradise or abundance of goodness. And fasalli li rabbika wanhar. So pray to your Lord and offer sacrifice to him alone. Inna sya'niyaka wal abtar. Indeed, your enemy is the one cut off. This is the al-abtar just now. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, "Do you know what is al-kawthar is?" This is one of the way we want to tafsir the Quran. Sometimes the Quran is tafsir from ayat al-Quran with the other ayat, and then this is one of the way that method that tafsir is from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you know what is al-kawthar is?" And the Sahaba replied, "Allah and his messenger knows best." And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "It is a river that my Rabb has promised me, in which there is so much goodness, and it is a fountain to which my ummah will come on the day of resurrection." So, but why river and then fountain? So the river is said by the scholar is in paradise, and the fountain that comes from the river is on the day of resurrection before the judgment is been set. And other narration, Al-Kawthar is a river in paradise. Its banks is made of gold and its bed is made of pearls and rubies. You know, when I read the Quran, they mention rubies, right? If I never play games like Sonic or Crash Bandicoot, I would never know what Ruby is. I don't know about you guys.
I know about rubies in Diablo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think I can't imagine what ruby is.
The red kind of gems, right? Yeah.
Gems, something very valuable.
Yeah. We learn a few things lah from video games, huh?
Okay. back to the session, inshallah. So inna atayna al-kawthar. So what is al-kawthar? As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that it is a river, right? But the scholars, they derive al-kawthar, it has more than 20 meanings. To be exact, it is 26, but I will only focus on 3. This is the general, the easiest way lah. And then the scholar, they have this term, but I can't remember what is it. It is different definition, but it doesn't contradict each other. If you guys can recall, Shahmi, no, they have this term for it, because the definition number one is abundance of goodness. We can see if you have a translation of the Quran, you will see Al-Kawthar. They translate the title means abundance, which means abundance of goodness. So this is directly in contrast to Abtar, the label that the non-believers gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And why? Because Allah has blessed our Prophet ﷺ with incredible goodness, unlimited blessing. This includes his amazing character, his moral, the gift. The biggest gift is he received the Quran and Rasulullah ﷺ knowledge and wisdom that Allah gave to him, and many, many more blessing that I think is not enough to mention here, right? And this first definition also to comfort the Prophet ﷺ, just like Surah Ad-Duha, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. The next life is certainly far better than this one, because the Al-Kawthar, Rasulullah ﷺ already received in dunya, but what he will receive, the next life is much more better. And this brings us to the definition number two. Al-Kawthar is the river in Jannah.
Sorry, it's Sana, Brother Aziz. Just crossed my mind. So if we, one practical benefit from us, when we recite the surah, in Apayna Al-Kawthar. So Al-Kawthar, yeah, like Aziz says, the river in Jannah. At the same time, also means the abundance of good that we have, especially because of Islam. Like, for example, you said just now, right? The gift of Tawheed. So when we recite in Apayna Al-Kawthar, it should remind us that actually Allah has given us a lot of good through Islam. So many things that whether we realize it or not, whether we acknowledge it, whether we appreciate it or not, actually there's so much good in our lives is because of this. So that should make us more grateful when we recite this. This ayah should be a reminder for us. Wow, a lot of things Allah has done, so much favors for me just by this gift of Islam.
True.
Mashallah.
Inna atayna al-kawthar is not only for the Prophet, it's for us. Because for we us. Recite the Quran. Yeah.
And it's nice, it's good that you mentioned that, because the phrasing, right, inna a'tayna ka, right, given you, like, as in you individual, right, not inna a'tayna kum, right, not like to many
all of you.
So like it's a personal blessing for you. It's like something, you know, like mindset we should tune ourselves.
And it's true, right? Even if we list our blessing from Allah or from Islam, I think it's not enough. It's not one page. It would be more than 100 page, I think.
Mashallah.
And then the definition number two is, I already mentioned, Al-Kawthar is the river of Jannah, and number three is the fountain or the pool that comes from the river of Al-Kawthar. So Rasulullah SAW have his own river Al-Kawthar in Jannah, and by the definition number three that I mentioned, the pool or the fountain, the water came from the river Al-Kawthar. This is for on the day of resurrection. Some scholars said it is before the Sirat, before we cross the Sirat. And this is the day of resurrection before the judgment, right? And then we have another narration, the Prophet from in the Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "I am ahead of you at the fountain of Al-Kawthar. And some men amongst you will brought up to me, and some men, this ummah will brought up to the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when I will try to hand them some of the water, they will be pulled away from me." Me is meaning the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He wants to give the water to the men, but he was pulled away by force. And Rasulullah Sallam say, "I will say, Ya Rab, my companions." Then the Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala will say, "You do not know what they did after you left. They introduced new things into the religion after you." So when we say giving a good, when we talk about Al-Kawthar, abundance of goodness, shouldn't the hadith just mention, "Oh, I want to give you a goodness"? But there's a twist here. The people were pulled away because they were the ummah, but they did something new into the region after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left or died. I think this hadith actually scares me a lot when I first hear this hadith. And there is one more hadith from Imam Muslim, from Abu Hurairah, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to the graveyard and say, "Assalamu alaikum ahlat diyari minal mu'minin wal muslimin wa inna insha'Allah bikum lahiqun," meaning peace be upon you, O habitation of believing people. We will inshallah soon will join you. And he continues, "Would that we had seen our brothers." Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Would that we have seen our brothers." And the sahaba, they asked, "Aren't we your brothers, Ya Rasulullah?" Then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he replied, "You are my companions." He said to the sahaba, "You are my companions. Our brothers are those who have not yet come," meaning that we are Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brothers, right?
Inshallah.
If we refer to this hadith, inshallah. And this and the sahaba asked again, how will you recognize those among your ummah who have not yet come, ya Rasulullah? And Rasulullah he gave this analogy that if a man has a horse with a white blaze and white feet among horses that are all black, don't you think he will recognize his horse? Oh, this is very, I like the way he explained things, right? And then the sahaba said, "Of course, Ya Rasulullah." And Rasulullah replied, "They will come with white forehead, white hands and feet because of wudu. I will have reached the fountain ahead of them." So Rasulullah Sallam seems like he is waiting for his ummah. And men will be driven away from my fountain as stray camels are driven away. And I will say, Rasulullah Sallam will say, "He let them come." And it will be said to Rasulullah Sallam, "They change after you gone." So Rasulullah Sallam say, "Away with them." SubhanAllah. They are, I don't know about you guys, who the first time I heard this hadith, it gave me goosebumps. It is crystal clear that this man, the people who came to the fountain of Al-Kawthar were the ummah of the Prophet.
They had the markings. They had the markings of his followers. Yeah.
Who? Yeah. Even the Prophet waited for them. And he knows that is his ummah. And the ummah, the people who came, they were so confident that they will drink from the fountain, right? The water. And if they drink, they would not be thirsty forever. SubhanAllah. You know how hot it is they say in the day of resurrection, how thirsty that we will be, and we ummah of the Rasulullah should need this water, right? And but they were pushed away by the Prophet himself. Subhanallah. You know why? They were deceived by their own ibadah. Why? Because they innovate. They modify what Allah and His Messenger have told them to do.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. It's a really makes you so grounded and makes you so scared and on your toes all the time that, you know, it's yeah. Subhanallah.
It seems like they were driven away, right? They were cut off from this goodness of Al-Kawthar. Imam Al-Qurtubi,
imagine if everyone just understand the seriousness of this. Because unfortunately, many people, when they listen to this kind of hadith, is just, you know, oh, scary. And then the next day, they do the same thing again. You know, right?
Yeah.
So, subhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us firm on the sunnah of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.
I mean,
it should be every time you recite this surah in your, for example, your salah, you reflect on the meanings, you know, you reflect on that day. Mm-hmm. Will you be safe on that day? That is the number one aim for all of us. It's safety. And we never know, because we are in this world, we are in the state of trial, right? And may Allah keep us firm on the straight path. But, you know, we have seen so many examples around us that it's not a certain thing, right? Subhanallah. And that should make us really scared. And it's also a good surah to make us always reflect and make us always grounded and aware that we don't be complacent in this dunya. Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
True. Yeah. And so it's a side note as well. This hadith refers to, it's not yet, it's still within the day of judgment itself. So that kind of is a very long wait, right? 50,000 years. And it's during this time. During this time, so it's not the judgment yet. Nah? You haven't gone into paradise yet. This is the transit place. So if you drink from Al-Kawthar, alhamdulillah, you'll never be thirsty forever, right? Well, as he says, and it's a nice drink, you know? And so the first survival means is to drink from this pond. And so imagine as a Muslim, by virtue of you making wudu, you know, you've done like the obligatory part in this dunya, you are recognized by the Prophet already. But so imagine now, in this, you want to reach this milestone on Day of Judgment. So it's like, he already recognized you. You already see the finish line. So he'll actually come. He'll actually tell you to come. He recognize you. But then you'll be driven away at the very last moment. It's like, you know, it's like you're seeing like an oasis in the desert. You already see it in front of you. And then you're like, oh, put back. Oh, you know, like so that kind of imagery, you know, like you're thirsty, you're hot, you're dehydrated. And then you finally see that that oasis there. You're like, yes. And then he recognized me. Yes, I got my ticket in.
This is me.
Because if you don't have... this is me. Because if you don't have those markings, you're not even recognized, right? Now you recognize me. So the oasis is like, yeah, come. And then boom, you pulled out. Oh, this is scary. Oh, this should send chills down the spine of believers.
Subhanallah.
Well, may Allah protect us.
I mean.
And there is one.
Sorry. Share something regarding the meaning of Al-Kawthar. Okay, we have a scholar by the name of Sheikh Muhammad Al-Amin Ashinkiti, rahimahullah. He wrote his magnum opus by the name of it's a tafsir book, Adwa'ul Bayan. One of the specialty of this tafsir is that it's a tafsir of the Quran with the Quran. So it's not tafsir of the Quran with hadith or all this. It's the Quran with the Quran. So one of the things that he mentioned regarding the term Al-Kawthar is that he said here, I don't have the English version, so I will try my best to translate it from Arabic. So he said, one of the things that makes the hearts feel tranquil about the surah is that Al-Kawthar means al-khayrul kathir, meaning so many, so abundance of goodness. Like you don't expect to know, you know, how how much is the goodness. So it's almost like unlimited lah. And then he said, here, وَقَدْ أَتَتْ آيَةُ تَدُلُّ عَلَى إِطَاءِ اللَّهِ لِرَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْخَيْرُ الْكَثِيرُ الْخَيْرُ الْكَثِيرُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us in the Quran many, many ayat that shows that He has given the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so many goodness. Okay, so and then he said, كَمَا جَاءَ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. It's just like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِ وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ. And we have given you the Sab'ul Mathani and the Quran. So Sab'ul Mathani, I believe it's the Suratul Fatiha. It's another name for Suratul Fatiha, which is the single most important surah for every Muslim to recite in a day, you know. Even the non-Muslims, when they embrace Islam, that's the surah that they have to learn by heart, at least, you know. So, and then he continues by saying, وَفِي الْقَرِيبِ. And there's also Surah Duha, he said, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And then he commented this and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him a blessing in the form of, you know, Allah's pleasure. Okay, yu'tika, sorry, Allah is giving him a blessing in terms of, you know, something that will ultimately make him, Nabi Muhammad SAW, feel, you know, redha, you know, pleased with it. And then he said here, sharhus sudur, like the tranquilness of the uplifting of the chest, you know, you feel when you have a problem and suddenly everything has been lifted away. So this kind of ketenangan, tranquil, calmness, and what and also all the problems are swept away, and wa rafa'u dhikr, and the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name known by everyone and everything. Okay, and yeah. it's if you look at the names of one of the names that's famous in England, for example, right, the number one name for newborn babies is Muhammad. I think one of them is, I think you can Google that, inshallah. So this is just one of the examples. And then he in continued England, by saying, not only, pardon,
England,
I think in England, yeah, I think I saw an interview, really, but yeah? Someone correct inshallah. Me if I'm wrong, yeah, inshallah. I think inshallah. In the recent years.
Okay, because if you say it's Pakistan, Muhammad, okay lah, but England, wow.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. English Pakistani lah, you know, Pakistani okay. Who are born there, yeah. Maybe lah, okay, so, okay. Because they contribute okay, in the overall, you know, how do you say this?
Majority, I guess.
Census of the people, again.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, that might be it. And also, Sheikh said here, and not only in Surah Duha, in Surah At-Tin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, ja'ala baladahul amin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Makkah a safe place, a place that is tranquil, the calmness of it. Wa a'ta al-mu'minina alladhina ya'maluna as-salihati ajran ghayru mamnun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the mu'minin, the believers who have done lots of good deeds, ajran ghayru mamnun. How do you say this? The reward that is, you know, non-stop, tak putus-putus, you know. And then he mentioned a bunch of surah, and interestingly, all the surah here is one after the other in Juzu Amma. In Juzu Amma, he said, Surah At-Tin, and then there's Suratul Iqra, or Suratul what's Suratul Iqra? Iqra Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq. Yeah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, he is giving the Prophet SAW ilmu. And alamahu malam yakun ya'lam. And the Prophet SAW is taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala things that he has never, you know, thought of, you know, before. And also Suratul Qadar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Prophet SAW and his ummah in general the night of Laylatul Qadar, which has never been given to anyone before. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said also in Suratul Bayyinah, ja'ala ummatahu khairul bariyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made ummat Muhammad SAW the best of creations. Subhanallah. So these are all the goodness yang the Prophet SAW is getting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only some of them. There are a lot more here in the list, but I think it's enough, inshallah. I hope one day someone will translate it and maybe, you know, we can istifada from this great book, mashallah.
Can I just
add one point from what Brother Aziz just mentioned, right? So my take to the explanation by Brother Aziz is that since Islam is a divine religion established through revelation, and that is in Allah sent all this revelation through the blessed to our blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for us to get salvation, to be able to drink from Al-Kawthar, we have tried to emulate as much as possible as what Rasulullah taught his companions, and that route is only able to get that, to do that, by seeking knowledge. So that's the essence. You seek knowledge because you, why? Because you want to establish this religion as how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his companions. And with that sincere and coupled with a sincere intention, you hope that Allah will make you among the people that will be given Al-Kawthar on that day. But it comes to seeking knowledge and having the willpower to implement whatever you've learned. And of course, comes with a sincere intention with that.
So the key to getting this abundance is knowledge, yeah? And putting in the effort to seek that knowledge.
No. Okay. Okay. I want to continue on about about the innovation part. Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, he said that our scholars said everyone who apostatized from the religion of Allah and who introduced innovations with which Allah is not pleased and did not give permission for is one of those who will be driven away from the Al-Kawthar. Those who will be the most forcefully driven away will be those who differed from the majority of Muslims and split from them, such as Kharijis, Rafidis, and all of...
Kharijis, just for context, yeah. Khariji referring to the Khawarij, Rafidi referring to the Shia. So these are the biggest, split-offs, heretics, and that's a form of innovation. The Khawarij and Shia are one of the biggest, innovations in Islam.
They put a lot of innovation in terms of akidah, fiqh, and most of it. And
Technicality, brother. Just to point out. So actually, what we're referring to that being shoot away is the haud, right? The pond, and the pond is flowing from Al-Kawthar. Maybe just to put the context there.
During the day of resurrection, not the river.
Not in Jannah yet.
A long way.
This is the middle of the journey.
Yeah, the water comes from Al-Kawthar River in Jannah. But the pond is not Al-Kawthar.
That's correct. The pond is typically referred to in Aqidah books as the Haud, right? So when we look at translations that say cistern, C-I-S-T-E-R-N, C-E-S-T-E-R-N.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It's like as a pond.
It's like a
cistern pond. If you want to know what cistern is, you know some masjid they have kolam, like the tank of water, you can like dip your hands inside if you want to do a quick wudu. Have you done that? that's basically a cistern.
We mentioned pond, right? It's not a small pond. It's a
that's right.
In Tafsir As-Sa'di, he mentioned that this Al-Haut is a month's journey. Right, the length of it is a month's journey, so it's a huge point, huge cistern.
And for context, in those days, a journey to from Makkah to Madinah is about, I think, 2 weeks. month's journey, so that's twice, that's basically how big this pond is. It's for the Ummah, right? Mashallah,
Rasulullah SAW, Ummah is the largest Ummah, and Al-Qurtubi also mentioned the Mu'tazilis, the Ahlul Kalam, and anyone who follow their way.
Right.
Okay, the same applies to evildoers, the oppressor who try to extinguish the truth and kill its followers and humiliate them. And those who openly committed major sins and took the matter of sins lightly, and those who follow deviant whims and desires of innovation. This is from the Kitab Al-Tazkirah by Al-Qurtubi. And last night, a friend shared me one video. This a jamaah was having jamaah solah. The imam was in front, and he has a full ma'mum behind him. I think it looks like a mosque, but somehow it's open mosque. And I think it's a large jamaah. Initially it looks like a normal prayer, but what different is that it's not the imam was reciting the Al-Fatiha, Allahu Akbar when they want to ruku or prostrate. There was a man standing beside the imam with a microphone. He looked at the ma'mum. He looked at the imam. He was the one who reads.
Oh, he looks back.
He looks back.
Yeah, he looks back. He was standing beside the imam. It looks like an MC or moderator or something like that. And he was like, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And when I read the commentary, it was from this one sect of Shia.
SubhanAllah.
This is the extreme side of innovation. It's solat jama'ah.
But the imam is not reciting.
Imam is not reciting. Imam seems like leading the prayer.
Wow.
But there was someone standing beside him, was the one with the mic, recites and says Allahu Akbar and everything. SubhanAllah.
A different level of outsourcing.
Yeah.
Delegate your task well.
And the Prophet even told us, even warned us that every innovation is going astray and every astray will be in the fire. I think this is one of the in hadith is in the one of the collection of An-Nawawi, 40 hadith, right? Yeah.
Not sure. I have to check. I think so.
Yeah. I think it's one of it. And so okay.
If you want to prioritize, we have limited time, 24 hours a day, right? We have so many things to do for Amal Saleh. So prioritize. And how you prioritize? Find the one that's most closest in narration in authenticity to what the Prophet does. You do that one first, inshallah. If you finish doing that one, I don't know if you have any more time to do others. But prioritize on those first.
True.
Yes.
Yeah. Because these Rafidis, I mean Shia or Khawarij or Mu'tazilis, what they are doing are clearly, they are innovators. The scholars of Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah have the consensus that they are the innovators, right? But however, personally, when I listen to the lecture, to the tafsir, we should have this habit of when we hear tafsir, stop pointing on others, right? We should reflect upon ourselves. So when I reflect on this event, I mean this event of when people are gathering to the pond to the pond, it will happen in the future. What will happen to me? I mean, what will happen to us, right? What do you think? Are we allowed to drink from this pond? Are we confident that our ibadah is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam want us to do or taught us to do, right? And we should know that Islam is already perfect. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even mentioned in his last sermon, we call it the farewell sermon, right? He said, oh Allah, be my witness that I have conveyed your message to your message to your people. Meaning that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam already conveyed everything, ibadah, aqidah, whatever the message of Islam needs. As part of the sermon, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even recite the revelation from Allah, which he in surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 3. The meaning is, this day, I would just get this one. This day, I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have approved for you Islam as religion. And this shows that Islam is perfect. We don't need to add, we don't need to, I mean, do less. So I think I should leave this to you guys to wonder, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah.
Subhanallah.
Just stay with the safe things in with the matters of your religion where it's established from Rasulullah and what is the practice of his companions as well. And leave everything that makes you doubt. Leave everything that might be beautiful, but there has a doubt in it that it, is it from Rasulullah or is it from someone else? Yeah, so that's the lesson here, mashallah. A few nights ago, our teacher, Sheikh Hussein, he always mentions a simple hadith after the Salat Tarawih so that we learn the simple hadith that we can practice in our lives. He mentioned one of the hadith, Da'ma ya ribuka ila ma la ya ribuka. Leave what makes you in doubt for what does not make you to doubt. So mashallah, simple, but
Quite very simple. Deep.
Yes.
Just like Surah Al-Kahfa.
Yeah.
Leave the innovations and creativity to science, to our worldly matters, and keep the authenticity in the religion.
Yes.
Yeah, mashallah.
I just want to add a bit, backtrack a bit. Very touching perspective. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that I would love to meet our brothers, the one Aziz said, right? And then in this narration, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so then the companions ask, are we not your brothers? Then he said, oh, you're my companions. Our brothers are those who not yet have come. In another narration, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was more explicit. He said, you are my companions. My brothers are those who believed in me, even though they will not see me. I love this one. So if you think about it this way, inshallah, this refers to all of us. So yeah, it's quite amazing. That means, you know, imagine Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is looking forward to meet all of you. He wants to meet Aziz, he wants to meet Reza, he wants to meet Amir, he wants to meet Shahmi. He's looking forward to meet all of us. He loves to meet us.
Inshallah.
Wow.
And we should feel the same way.
Yeah. How? We should feel that. He missed us, you know. Yeah. So we should have this feeling, you know. Subhanallah. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Subhanallah.
Yeah.
And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that he already gave Rasulullah Al-Kawthar, he continues, say, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْهَرْ. So pray to your Lord and offer sacrifice to him alone. So after Allah talks about the good things that he given to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to pray and to give sacrifice as a way to say, as to show gratitude for all the blessings that Allah have given. This is how we show our thankfulness and gratitude to Allah. MashaAllah. I mean, being a Muslim is very straightforward. Everything you need to do, how to pray, is already laid out for us, right? How to show gratitude. Allah already told us, you pray and you give sacrifice. You don't have to use your creativity. What ibadah should I do today? Eh? SubhanAllah. I think this is one of the nikmah, one of the al-kawthar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give to the Muslim, to the believers, that we already have the OP, the policy, the procedure to do ibadah without us to think, right?
Yeah.
Or as the young people say, we have the OG. You guys know OG, yeah?
No. OG.
What's that?
Come on.
Original.
What is it? Who knows the answer? OG.
Original gangster.
Yeah. So this is young people phrase, you know, whatever they refer to, like the legend, the legend, they'll say, oh, this is the OG. Yeah. Another one is the GOAT. You guys know the GOAT?
Yeah. Greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time. That's the one. So,
can I actually expand on the point on the sacrifice, right? Because I think a lot of scholars, asatiza, use this verse to say that as a motivation for us to make sacrifice. And among the sacrifice is general, but goes with the more priority one, like the akikah, the kurban during Eid, the sacrifice during when you go for Hajj. So these are the and also the sacrifice you do if you have nazar, yeah, you have to make a promise to Allah. So these are the sacrifice that you try your best every year, at least for the Eid, save up some money, then you can actually do this act of ibadah, which is sacrifice during Eid. Yeah.
True. Yeah. In fact, it's this very short ayah that is used as the proof that some scholars would even say it's wajib. In fact, there's a difference of opinion that says that, you know, whether it's a sunnah or wajib, right? So this, because the way that this is phrased is like a fil amar, it's like a command, right? One har mean you apa, do your slaughter. And then when you look at the practices of the companions, they would do it, they would consistently do it every year. That's why there's that. But okay, at the very least, it is something that's very, very much encouraged in the deen. And this is the ayah for that.
The economics, let's say, like the sacrifice in Malaysia, like for a goat, maybe it's 1,000 ringgit or 1,200 ringgit. You divide by 12, that's 100 ringgit per month that you can try to adjust in your monthly pay. Maybe you remove some fine dining, whatever, yeah? Just to make some money for you to do this act of ibadah, the sacrifice.
Oh, inshallah. Good inshallah. Tips. Inshallah, yeah. Oh. Okay, so the prayer is a worship of the body, of the heart, and on the other hand, sacrifice represents a way to draw nearer to Allah by dedicating a portion of one's wealth for Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just sure. As Amir mentioned just now, right? We save every month 100 ringgit. Yeah, and then on the Eid, so we can sacrifice, inshallah. Mm-hmm. And one thing that in this ayah, this shows that that prayer and sacrifice are acts of worship that holds a great importance on the side of Allah, right? And remember, it's only for Allah. And usually, solah is tied up with zakah. Also, both. One is physical ibadah, and other is ibadah for sacrifice our wealth, just like zakah, right? And then I continue to the last ayah, if no one have anything.
Yep.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Tafadhal.
Yep.
In nasha ni'aka wal abtar. Indeed, your enemy is the one cut off. So this ayat was revealed, as I mentioned earlier, to reply the mushrikun who call Rasulullah Sallam abtar. Allah replies that the mushrikuns are the one who cut off from goodness. You know that Abu Jahal, I can't remember other mushrikun, their names, if we remember at all, right, are always associated with negativity. Their lineage are cut off. And if we reflect the lineage of Rasulullah Sallam, even though it's from his daughters, is still exists until now, right? Some of them are kings, some of them are ulama, and subhanallah, this very contrast for whatever the mushrikun tells the prophet, right? The prophet name is mentioned every single minute, every single second by the Muslim all over the world. Subhanallah.
Yes. Yeah, it also shows the short-sightedness when you just look at one perspective of just about sons, right? Like you said, the lineage is continued through the daughter, right? All the, you know, the whole Ahlul Bayt, right? It's through the lineage of Fatima and Ali, and, you know. So you have many great scholars or imams, all from that lineage. It's through the daughter. So just because you say that he doesn't have sons, you say he's abtar. That's very short-sighted, bro. You know? there's only one aspect. That's just the physical aspect, the lineage. And then you have the religion, which is, as you say, how many times the ilm, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ilm, right? The name, the most popular name in the world. Oh, subhanallah.
Amazing. I think it's very nice explanation on that abtar, right? So because they mock Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he doesn't have a lasting son, a lineage of from a male that survived, right, after him. Subhanallah. Look at this, Abu Jahal, Walid al-Mughirah, right? Khalid Walid's father.
Yeah.
Abdullah ibn Salul. Those are all the big enemies of Rasulullah, right?
Yeah.
They all have sons. all have sons, right? Yeah. And all the sons are closer to Rasulullah than their own father.
Yeah. All the sons. their sons become great companions, right?
Exactly. Hmm. They're closer to Rasulullah than their own father.
Yeah. So you have, like, for example, the son of Abu Jahal, the famous one is Ikrimah, right? Ikrimah.
Yeah.
The son of Walid bin Mughirah is, of course, the famous Khalid bin Walid. And Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, his son is also named Abdullah. So all of these become great companions of Rasulullah. So yeah, very short-sighted. You just look at that one aspect, but your own children are the ones continuing his legacy. Subhanallah. Amazing.
Continuing Rasulullah legacy, right?
The legacy of the one who you call is cut off. Ayah, bro. Very short-sighted.
Subhanallah. Okay, there is one point that I just heard. I think this is new for me. I don't know about you guys. I heard that in one lecture, this ayat isn't just talking about the non-believers. It is also a warning to the Muslim who do not follow the Prophet ﷺ teachings properly. The one who innovates is actually the enemy of Rasulullah ﷺ. You know why should they innovate, right, in the first place? And especially those who make up their own way of worship, thinking that it's okay, or when they ignore what's clear from the authentic hadith and do the opposite. They are also the one who is optar. They will missing out the goodness. They are cut out from the goodness. And we should go back to the first ayah, to the story that in the day of resurrection, they are cut off from the pond, right? So I think this verse reminds us all just to stick faithfully to the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ and to avoid deviating or diluting from his guidance with our own interpretation. And
yeah, that's a very good point, because actually the phrase in this surah is Shani'aka. That means the one who hates you, who hates Rasulullah ﷺ. Mm-hmm. So it's referring to not necessarily the mushrikeen. Of course, there are mufassirin who says this reveal about this person. But Allah makes it general, also, right? Whoever who hates you, who hates
for the munafiq, right?
Even the people who call themselves Muslims, but in their heart they hate Islam, they hate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they hate the teachings, they hate the Sunnah. Yes, this also Allah is giving you a warning that you are cut off. And so even the enemies of Islam today, you know, we have many enemies of Islam today in everywhere over the world. Yes, they are. This also Allah reminds us that eventually they also be cut off from the abundance of goodness, and especially Al-Kawthar.
Also to warn the people who hate people who want to hold with the Sunnah. This is also one of the related to this ayat.
And here, when it says being cut off, when Allah says being cut off, right? They might be apparently having all the best things in this world, like wealth, lineage. So that makes them arrogant. But when Allah says cut off, it's not meaning that they are cut off from their rizq in the immediate sense, but they're cut off from the goodness, from the ni'mah of Islam. And therefore, that stops them, that prevents them from getting the benefit in the akhirah. So they will enjoy themselves here and think that they're on the right path. But when it comes to the real time of judgment, the real time of when it's the truth is apparent, that's when the word cut off will be shown and like be true to them. Because suddenly, they want the goodness that they see the believers or the people who are clinging on the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ having at that time. But then they cannot, because the time has passed already. They were cut off from goodness, and therefore they are cut off from receiving that bounty in the Akhirah, which is the eternal life. What is the life of this dunya, right? That is the eternal life. And that is really the true success. So that's the reflection of what cut off being means here.
Can I share a bit of my reflection from what Brother Aziz and all the brothers have shared? Like, for you to get Al-Kawthar, right? To get it doesn't require you to have a special lineage. Doesn't require to be someone who has particular race, demographic, status, wealth, doesn't matter. You can be poor, you can be someone from a country that nobody knows, a lineage that nobody respect, doesn't matter. But if you follow, if you worship Allah sincerely and you follow the guidance of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are entitled for the same reward as all the great men in Islam. The same reward as what Abu Bakr got, same reward as what Umar got, Uthman, Ali, and all the best people got. You are entitled for the same reward to drink in Al-Kawthar, in the pond.
Mashallah.
Nice. And it's no matter whatever situation you're in, no matter what tests you have in this life, no matter what you have in this life, everyone has the same.
What you don't have, right? What you have, yeah. What you don't have, you what have the chance. Have.
Everyone has the same opportunity, no matter who you are. So reflect on that, mashallah. There is no
in the eyes of Allah, we are all the same playing field. In the eyes of Allah, right. We are all the same playing field.
That's right.
Mashallah.
Mashallah. Okay, akhi. I think I would have some conclusion or last word before I end this session.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Mashallah.
Okay, I
let's
I
hear
think
your closing. Your closing conclusions, your closing words for this surah from Al-Kawthar.
Yeah, inshallah. Okay. I think for this session, I have three takeaway points that I want to bring it up. And number one is begin with the end of mind. So this is what we discussed during our first session with Reza, right?
And begin because, with the end in mind. Yeah.
So, inshallah. Because it is crucial to ensure our worship is purely for Allah's sake. So, seeking His approval and reward. Whatever act of worship we perform, we should link back to our ultimate goal to end Jannah, to earn Jannah, and hope that we can drink from the pure water of Al-Kawthar. And knowing this, we would strive our best to learn what is the right way of worship. Point number two is know your ibadah. We need to make sure that all of our ibadah meet these two conditions. I think we always repeat this, right? Number one, ikhlas for the sake of Allah. Number two, the second one is ittiba. Follow what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us without adding our own interpretation, without adding or subtract anything. And there is one more thing that I want to point out, that we also need to remember that we have three pillars of ibadah, right? And all of our ibadah need to have these three vital elements. Number one is love, the love content with the commands and the provision of that Allah has given us. Number two is fear that our ibadah won't be accepted, and we want to improve whatever worship by learning how to do the right ibadah. And lastly is that hope that our ibadah is Allah is pleased with our ibadah. And I remember that this is always repeated in one of our class. Ibn Umar and other companions, may Allah please with them all, said that if I knew that Allah had accepted from me just one prostration, there would be no unknown anticipated event more beloved to me than death. Oh, subhanAllah. And then lastly is number three is tabayyun. Always double check the information or practices you came across, especially if they're new or unfamiliar to you. Talk to someone who has knowledge, our scholar, ustaz, you trust, to confirm their authenticity. This ensures that we stay on the right path and avoid innovation that could lead us astray. Come on, it's not a small deal. You cannot be with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam if you do innovation, even if you just blindly follow. We need to proactively search for the knowledge. And lastly, check its authenticity so that we are not among the peoples of innovation and rejected in front of the fountain of Al-Kawthar.
I think one thing just to reflect also. So we always hear this phrase, right? We make Allah make us among the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Yeah.
So this is the importance of why. Because if we do not stay being on the path of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we'll be deprived from this Haud and from the blessings of Al-Kawthar. Yeah, so that's the another. So this surah should remind us of the importance of sticking true to this pure aqidah, this OG, right? Yeah, the original and what the perfect and unchanged aqidah.
Authentic. Yeah,
and there is one ayah reminds me of this, that in Surah Al Imran, verse 31, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah." Fattabi'uni yuhibbukumullahu wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wallahu ghafurur rahim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, O Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet to tell us, to tell the sahabat and tell us, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Me meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah shall love you and forgive your sins. Allah is most forgiving, very merciful. So double check. Double check, inshallah. Relearn. Start learning. And may Allah make us from the people who will drink from the fountain of Al-Kawthar and be rewarded with many, 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 many goodness. Inshallah.
Ameen. I can add to that. Learn is one thing. But be ready to unlearn as well. If you find out that what you've been practicing, you know, it might not be the best. You know, might not have the a solid basis to fall in. I mean, okay, you've been doing it for a while, but now you know the truth. And it's not easy to leave that behind, but get ready to unlearn that because
what's at stake it's here. Easy to learn new things, right? But it's very difficult to unlearn whatever we have.
Correct. MashaAllah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Unlearning, getting rid of the habits is more difficult than building habits. Building habits is also not easy. Nobody says it's easy. But getting rid of bad habits, like smartphone habits, even habits which... So let's say you found out that certain practices are not from the sunnah, then maybe you have been doing it for all this time, all your life. You find out, okay, then be ready to learn that. Because what's at stake here is your access to Al-Kawthar.
MashaAllah. Yeah.
MashaAllah.
Okay, MashaAllah. So, Alhamdulillah, Barakallah Fik, Brother Aziz. MashaAllah, very good sharing. A very short surah. So, I hope that may Allah Azza wa Jal make this as a means that this recitation of the surah, especially in our favorite, as one of our favorite recitations in our sunnah prayers, probably even our fard prayers as well. No judgment, right? No judgment. It's still Quran, MashaAllah. So, now you're already reciting it anyway. Planted with these reflections and tadabbur, begin with the end in mind, becoming of the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, adhering to prayers, the prayers, the sacrifice that you do for the sake of Allah, and that remind yourself that it's through following this religion that you are getting the abundance of good. And even if you don't see it physically right now, actually you already have it as we speak, but you will see much more kawthar on the day of judgment itself, especially if you keep your faith pure. We are hoping, we are looking forward very, very much to be the people who have that markings of wudu on our face, on our hands, on our feet. And Allah, and then Rasulullah SAW say, "Hey Aziz, lay lay." No, not lay lay. Ta'al, ta'al. Lay 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 is the Okay. Lay lay lay. Ta'al, ta'al. Okay. So Reza, Amir, come. Ahlan, ahlan. Hayyakumullah. So we'll come and we'll meet on the day of judgment and all this huge pond, and then we'll drink from that. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make the path crossing the Sirat easy for us, and then we'll unite with Him once again in Jannatul Firdaus.
And our families as well.
Ameen. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. So with that, brothers and sisters, Jazakumullah Khairan for joining us on today's live session. So we'd love to hear from you. So Alhamdulillah, just a shout out to some of our listeners out there. So first and foremost, we have Ustaz Muammar. MashaAllah.
Long time no see.
Yeah, MashaAllah. Hayyakumullah, Ustaz Muammar Gaddafi from Kuching. He's in Kuching,
Yes, he's in Kuching. Kuching.
And I think this is Ka'en, eh? I think.
Yes, Ka'en.
Ka'en, mashallah. Ka'en, ahla wa sahlan, mashallah. And we also have brother Nick Shafirul, mashallah. Yep, hub wa itiba, love and follow what the Prophet SAW teaching, not only to love, but to follow the sunnah, mashallah. Jazakumullah khairan. We appreciate the comments very much. Jazakumullah khairan. So we'll be joining each other again on next Saturday, Saturday on 2:30. And our next sharing is by brother
Amir.
Okay, brother Amir. That side, huh? Not this guy. No. That way. Sorry.
That way.
So brother Amir, inshallah, will be sharing from Surah Al-Zalzalah. From Kuching also hadir. Oh, mashallah. Lots of Kuching. Warga Kuching hari ni, mashallah.
Mashallah.
Okay.
So I just want to add on the teaser for next week. I'm not stealing any thunder from my brother Aziz. I'm telling a surah that made Abu Bakar cry when he heard it.
Mashallah.
Abu Bakar cry. Okay. All right. So let's hear from this amazing surah that can make Abu Bakar cry. And we'll learn from that in next year, same time, Saturday, 2:30 p.m. in our continuation of our series from Treasures of Quran. So may Allah Azza wa Jal grant barakah in everything that's been shared today and make it a means of success in dunya and akhirah. Okay, with that, brothers and sisters, we'll see you next week, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.